listening to Real World News. Increasing voices urge to occupy UN COP on climate change. Director of Groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa, Bobby Peake, said the 17th Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Convention on Climate Change that is taking place in Durban is a conference of the polluters. It's a truth, it's not just a joke. In the Conference of the Parties, we have corporate capture, we have big companies like Sasol and Eskom on the South African government delegation, and they have a very influential role, and these are the same companies that in South Africa do not want emission targets, so they go to the parliament and say no, Peake told Real World Radio. Sasol and Eskom are pointed by several South African and international social movements as two of the country's largest polluters, which largely contribute to climate change. Peake does not have high expectations as regards to the South African government and its role in the COP as president of the negotiations. Let's now listen to the interview.
So, Bobby, we are beginning. We are beginning this conference of the parties of the United Nations on climate change. What are your expectations regarding, especially, the South African government, the presidency of this COP?
Well, I think the reality is that lots of people have said this is the conference of the polluters rather than the conference of the parties. But I think it's the truth. I mean, it's not just a joke. In the conference of the parties, we have corporate capture. We have big companies like Sasol and Eskom on government delegations, on the South African government delegation. And they have a very influential role. And these are the same companies, may I say, that in South Africa do not want target emissions, do not want emission targets. So they go to Parliament and they say no. So, and it's not only these companies. So we can't expect a lot from the South African government because they're clearly not listening to the people, they're listening to corporates, and the reality is that that's the pressure that is going to happen when we are here over the next 2 weeks. For me, the most important thing is that South Africa must not be with the US, South Africa must not be with Europe, South Africa must not be with BASIC, South Africans must be with Africa, because if we don't take a position that keeps us as little above 1 degree Celsius, a position that secures public funding for adaptation, a position that secures a legally binding agreement that is top-down, a position that secures that Africa does not burn, we will not, as South Africa, be doing right to Africa. So it's important that we stand with Africa.
When we did several interviews with representatives of social movements, social organizations, networks here in South Africa, they were all, everybody concerned, really, really concerned about the energy sector in South Africa. And always saying that South Africa is the most, the country which pollutes the most here in the continent. How groundwork deals with this issue? What do you think about this energy development of your country, Bobby?
South African government and South Africa on the whole makes up 42% of Africa's greenhouse gases. So it's a very, very big problem. But they do so on the basis of an apartheid development paradigm, which we call the mineral and energy complex, where the apartheid state used cheap coal. Coal is never cheap, but they used abundance of coal. They produce energy from that very cheaply. And that energy production resulted in huge amounts of pollution on poor black people and on the environment. But that cheap energy is not cheap for the poor. It's cheap for BHP Billiton, who uses up to 10 to 11% of all our electricity. Communities in South Africa only use 16% of all our electricity provided. But of that 16% of the energy we use, we must recognize that the 40% of the richest people use most of that energy. So for groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa, and indeed Friends of the Earth Africa, for us it's an energy struggle more than a climate struggle. It's about a struggle to get equitable, affordable, and non-damaging and non-harmful energy for people on the ground. So in South Africa, we are working on what we call an energy sovereignty campaign, so we can understand how we can secure energy for people in townships and how we can democratize energy so that we don't allow for township people to pay seven times more for energy than BHP Billiton, and therefore cross-subsidize BHP Billiton. The long and short of it is that we need to get rid of big companies such as BHP Billiton that do not bring economic value to South Africa, that does not bring any form of justice to South Africa, but just takes our resources away.
Bobby, and there are still some projects of nuclear power plants, coal-fired new plants. What can you tell us, what can you inform us about these new projects of the South African government in this energy, dirty energy sector?
So the challenge of the South African government is that they've been undemocratic about the process of nuclear energy. In 2010, they said that they will not take a position on nuclear energy until there's a broader stakeholder negotiation and discussion on nuclear energy. But in March this year, ironically after the Japanese disaster, the South African government committed that for the future energy scenario in South Africa, they will commit 30% of that energy scenario to nuclear energy and only 9% to renewable energy. So it's very clear that South Africa is not going to listen to its people. South Africa is going to do things in an undemocratic way, and that's what happens with the nuclear industry. The nuclear industry is undemocratic. It's about big money, big business. It's not about decentralized energy for the people.
Bobby, what can you say to us? What were, for you, the most important results of the Dirty Energy Week, the last week here in Durban?
Bringing together people from Madagascar, bringing together people from Uganda, from Nigeria, from Canada, people who are challenging dirty energy projects, challenging false solutions on the ground. Those people sitting, talking to each other, recognizing that theirs is a common struggle. And to be able to speak about the Yasuni, and to be able to recognize that there is a different tomorrow, there is a new tomorrow, there is a tomorrow beyond fossil fuel. So the result of that Dirty Energy Week was to recognize that, and then to work with local people to on a reality of how can we work to oppose fossil fuel economy, to work on a multilateralism that is not only here at the COP, but a multilateralism around the world between communities. And finally, to recognize that it is wrong of us as NGOs to make a big process or a big noise about climate change and energy only when there's COPs. We need to, with movements around the world, make a permanent noise about climate change and energy and not make it seasonal every December when the COP floats around.
Bobby, just to finish, you were raising the demand of energy sovereignty. How does Groundwork explain this demand? What is energy sovereignty, Bobby?
Groundwork doesn't profess to know what energy sovereignty is about. Groundwork doesn't profess to have the solution to be able to explain energy sovereignty. What we want to do is to recognize that food sovereignty might be a process to work from, where those people that produce energy, are in control of that energy, so that we can democratize energy. So we're going to be talking to unions, the National Union of Mine Workers of South Africa. We're going to be National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa. We're going to be talking to people who live in favelas, in shanty towns, in shack towns, to be able to understand what do they think, what is their understanding of energy, and to intersect with that, and to, through that process, over a couple of years, to work on what we in South Africa believe energy sovereignty should be. It's something exciting, it's a new concept. It's a concept that has many possibilities, and that's all we want to do, make those many possibilities real.
Bobby, would you like to add something?
I just think the important thing, as Friends of the Earth South Africa, as Friends of the Earth International, that the 99% should be taking over, should be occupying the COP, rather than having the 1% dictate the doom and the gloom of what's going to happen to the planet if we leave it to them over the next few decades.
You are listening to Real World News.